Welcome to the Spirit of Hosea service. My name is Reverend Stephen W. Wilcox. I am the pastor of the Theological Foundations Ministries and the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship. You are listening to either a CD that you have downloaded from the internet or that somebody has given you, hoping that it will be helpful to you. And we welcome you to go to www.theologicalfoundations.com, and you can download any sermons that are there or messages, either in audio files or whole books or messages or sermons by various pastors and teachers and theologians from around the world on a number of important and timely subjects. We welcome you, and we hope that you will be blessed. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to write to mail@marriagedivorce.com, and we'll do what we can to answer you in an appropriate and timely and an appropriate fashion. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you be with me this morning. Help me, Lord, to speak your word and help me to divide it equally and to be able to be a blessing to all those, Lord, that want to understand you and to follow you in your footsteps. Lord, I ask you to open the ears of all the hearers that need to hear this. Lord, I ask that you give me wisdom and that you give me clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn with me, if you would. We're going to have two texts this morning. I'm going to read the first text in King James Version, then I'm going to reread it in the New Living Translation, which for the most part will be the translation that I'm going to use this morning. So please turn with me to Isaiah 26:3. That's Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. And I'm going to read first out of King James. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, that verse is one of the most deeply meaningful verses in the entire Bible to me personally, because during a time of significant crisis in my life, I felt the Holy Spirit absolutely shouted this in my ears. It was just filled my entire mind. It said, I will keep in perfect peace he whose mind is stayed on me. He first partied it from his spirit to my spirit. In the New Living Translation, they translate it, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Now, I want you to hold that thought and hold those verses in suspension. The second text that we're going to be using today is found in the New Testament as Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. This Galatians 5, 17. And I will be reading this and all subsequent scripture in the New Living Translation today. I'm going to go ahead. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, as so that you cannot carry out your good intentions. Unquote. Everybody that knows Jesus Christ, everybody that is struggling in order to be able to walk closely to him, to follow in his footsteps, to turn away from evil and to resist temptation, is aware that there is a war going on inside of them. This war sometimes is loud and dangerous and explosive. Sometimes it is just subtle and a feeling of insecurity. There's a constant fight going on. If you are in a canoe and you are going down a river, and the course of this river is dictated by gravity and by geography, and all you're doing is you're a passenger in that canoe, and the only thing that you have to do is stay in the middle of the river, you will find that everything is peaceful, everything is gentle. You will have time to hear the birds singing. You will have time to watch how green the trees are, how beautiful the changing landscape. But if you decide to take a paddle and turn that canoe around and try to go upriver, you will find out just how forceful the water is. You will find out that you are odds with the tranquil river that you are sitting on. So it is with those that know God and those that don't. Those that don't know God, that are going along with their evil nature, there is no war. They are doing whatever comes natural to them. And whatever they feel confident in doing, whatever their experience of doing, whatever their wicked hearts will desire, they will either do that or do something, anything that they think that they can get away with. But if you're trying to walk the straight and narrow and you turn that canoe and try to go upriver, you will be at war. So God promised that he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because they trust in God. But at the same time, his word warns that we will be in war. What does this mean? What does it mean? Please turn with me to the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Unquote. In this verse, Jesus is implying that if you know him, that something physical, almost violent, is going to happen. He will set you free. He will break your chains. There will be an act of war, and there will be a type of victory, and there will be war being waged against sin. In verse 12 of chapter 8, just up a few verses, he said, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you have the light that leads to life." Unquote. Brothers and sisters, you that know Christ and you that don't, I need to tell you and you need to understand that there is a war that is being waged between heaven and between hell. And in the Christian, there is a war that is being waged between the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and your spirit that has been breathed alive by God, and the spirit, or the temptations of the flesh, and also the temptations of the spirit of evil. It is a constant battleground. If you are peaceful, if you are quiet, and there is no struggling going on within you, I would say that you need to wake up, you need to look and see the direction that you are going, you need to take a paddle, and you need to at least try to go upstream from where you started. This entire notion of there being one type of people and then there be another type of people is deeply ingrained in the entire scriptures. There are those that are lost and there are those that are saved. The ones that are lost end up being destroyed. The ones that are being saved wage a war their entire life in order to combat evil and to have good triumph. Jesus talked about this directly in some of the most well-known portions of Scripture. Please turn with me to John chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verses 16 to verses 21. "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based upon this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil." Stop. I'm going to stop there for a moment. Jesus then clarifies a misunderstanding that has crept into the church and into the culture. And that is that the only requirement that there is for salvation is for someone to state or perhaps even to believe that Jesus is God and that he saves them and that he loves them, and that some person following some form of ritual or saying or declaration accepts Jesus. But Jesus says here in verses 20 and 21 that whatever being born again means, whatever this means, it is not a time of simple statement without it acting as a type of warfare. Verse 20, "All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But they that do what is right come to the light, so others can see that what they are doing is what God wants." quote. What Jesus is saying is that if you don't know him, you stay away from the light. And then there's no conflict between the light and the darkness. You're in darkness, your deeds are dark. One does not contrast the other, and you don't stand out, nor do your deeds. You come to the light, you stand out, your deeds stand out, and people will see what it means to be a real Christian. In Isaiah 50, we're going to read a lot from Isaiah today. We're going to go back and forth between the Old and the New Testament. In Isaiah chapter 50, verses 10 and 11, it's written, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? If you are walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. But watch out, you who live in your own light, and warm yourselves by your own fires. There is the reward you will receive from me. You will soon fall down in great torment." Jesus, through the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, as God is talking directly to those that know him and those that don't. To those that don't, he said, if you're not in my light, then you're in your own light, you're in your own darkness. And beware, because you will soon fall down into great torment. He's threatening hell. There's a tremendous war. Please read with me to the book of Galatians. Let's read Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 25. Galatians 5, 16 to 25. I'll let you look it up. I'll go ahead. Verse 16. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so that you are not free to carry out your own good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again," Paul says, "as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God." Very strong. What Paul is saying is that there is a war within you. If on one side of the war you live according to the flesh, you will do some of these things. You do these things, you will not be saved. If on the other hand you live according to the Spirit, and it is a war and there is a choice, if you live according to the Spirit, you won't do these things, and you will instead display the fruits of the Spirit, which I read next. Verse 22. "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against such things. For those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passionate and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucify them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Unquote. Brothers and sisters, I get many calls from people that are standing for their marriage. What has happened is they're being obedient to the call that the New Testament requires, that one man for one woman for life. That any divorce is against God's law, against God's will, and remarriage is declared adultery. So what has happened is, in the past, they have either divorced or have been divorced by their rightful spouse, their one and only living spouse, and they cannot remarry, and they know it. God forbids it. It's called adultery. And so they stand in chaste singleness while praying for and trusting in their reconciliation and their restoration of their marriages. These people, the ones that I am referring to, They are in the canoe that turns around and is fighting to go back upstream. The other ones that basically have just moved on, ran down the river with the flow of the current, they are not aware even of the battle that it takes to get back to the place where it started. And this is extremely important to understand, that if you are with God, you're in a battle, but at the same time, there is a peace that passes all understanding that rules in our hearts and in our minds. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor as God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. So, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all of its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Verse 12. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Brothers and sisters, as all of these verses have shown, and which the Bible states allegorically and in actuality, there is a war going on. It's a war between two worlds. If you're not at war, then there is some kind of a false armistice that's taken place. You may have signed, or you may have agreed to some kind of a peace, to some kind of a compromise, to some kind of a surrender, to some kind of a ceasefire. You are not permitted to live in a ceasefire environment. You are required to do battle for Christ. You're required to do battle against evil. You're required to do battle within yourself. You're required to do battle on behalf of the church. You're required to do battle within the church. For those of you in this ministry faces all the time that are weary of the war. Perhaps you have stood for the true meaning of marriage for a while, but yet others wore you down, or you became tired, or you found there was such little rest from the battle that you grew weary, or you grew tired, or you grew discouraged. I warn you that you are in the midst of a long campaign, and if you give in, you give up. And if you give up, you lose. And if you lose, then you are not a soldier of the cross, because we cannot lose. Please turn with me to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. Isaiah 40. So many feel absolutely broken because they don't see God moving in their lives. They don't see God moving in their churches. They don't see God moving in their families. And out of frustration and out of sorrow and sometimes out of anger, they react. They don't understand, why is God not hearing me? Why doesn't He answer my prayer? Verse 27. O Jacob, how can you say that the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard, have you never understood that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth? He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of His understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength, and they will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful promise. Different place in Isaiah chapter 57, verses 15 to 21. That's Isaiah 57, 15 to 21. The scriptures record, the high and the lofty one who lives in eternity, the holy one says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble. I revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. For I will not fight against you forever, for I will not always be angry. If I were, all people would pass away, all the souls I have made. I was angry, so I punished those greedy people. I withdrew from them, but they kept going on in their own stubborn way. I have seen what they do, but I will heal them anyway. I will lead them. I will comfort those who mourn, bringing words of praise to their lips. May they have abundant peace, both near and far, says the Lord, who heals them. But those who still reject me are like the restless sea, which is never still, but continually churns up muck and dirt. There is no peace for the wicked, says my God. Subject of peace. Which peace do you have? Do you have the peace of God that passes all understanding? Or do you have the peace because a cessation of conflict? Do you have peace, or do you merely have quiet? Isaiah 57, verses 1-2, just up the page from that. Good people pass away, the godly often die before their time, but no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. For those who follow godly paths will rest in peace when they die. When you lay down your life for the Lord and it is all over, and the next thing you know, you'll be with the Lord, you will have that peace which is promised in the scriptures. Until then, you will have the joy and the peace of being able to know that you are at peace with God, but you are at war with the world that has rebelled against him, both in your own nature and in the world around you. Many phone me or write me and they say, Pastor, I don't understand why I don't have a declared victory. I don't understand why it is so hard every single day. And there's nothing wrong with saying that to me. I understand that you are having the difficulty with this. I sometimes do as well, or I always do as well. But I do understand that I am still in the midst of a desperate war with desperate stakes. And if I am at a lull, and if I am not at war, it is because I have stopped fighting, or I have made some kind of a false peace. And we must not do that. Let's go back to the first verse of our text. Isaiah 26:3. And I want to leave it at that. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. If I leave you with a word, I want it to be this. Be encouraged. For the battle rages on. And our defender is the Lord God Almighty. And at the end of the day, if you read the end of the book, he wins and our enemies lose. At the end of the day, at the end of the battle, when it is all over, we will be in the hall of heroes receiving our promotions and our medals and our accolades of battle. But we won't want to have them because we'll just throw them at the feet of Jesus, because only He is worthy. So my message to you is this. Do not be surprised when the war grows weary, when you are tired beyond your ability to rest, when you see no relief in sight, when every move of yours is contested, and there is metaphorically blood on the floor. You're in the thick of the battle that the Lord God has placed you in. Fight. Run the race. Fight the fight. Live the life. Be an example to others. Don't go with the flow. And be victorious. And work out your salvation. That way, in fear and trembling. And the Lord will breathe new life into you. And you will mount up just like the eagles with wings. And soar above this war-weary world. For Jesus has promised, and He has given you a deposit to that promise. And someday will be your closing date, and you will be with Him and victorious. And we'll have saved many with you because of the fruit of the Spirit and not the works of the flesh. May God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for such wonderful truths. I ask, Lord, that You take this message and You just work it in all of our hearts so that we may understand it and we may apply it in our lives. Lord, I just ask that You give each heart clarity. Lord, I ask that You encourage all those, Lord, who are weary. And I ask, Lord, that You give strength to all those, Lord, that are wounded. And healing for all those, Lord, that need to have Your touch. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.